Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Graeme Souness discuss Liverpool and Manchester City drawing 1-1 in the big Premier League showdown at Anfield. Jurgen Klopp's side have failed to beat City, Arsenal and Manchester United at home this season. Will this ultimately be the match they look back on as the one that got away come the 19th of May? Are Mikel Arteta's Gunners the big winners of the weekend as they now top the league following their win against Brentford? And blue cards, would they bring an end to diving? Have FIFA missed a trick not introducing them to the game? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
What a game at Anfield this afternoon, and what a climax to this championship challenge we're in for on TalkSport. It finishes in the last ever meeting, potentially, between Messrs Klopp and Guardiola. Liverpool 1, Manchester City 1.
As the curtain comes down on the Klopp versus Pep Premier League story. Post-match, they had a bit to say. Klopp first.
We are still there. We are kind of the annoying guy we cannot get rid of. And that's actually the idea. And then we will see, how I said, there's no guarantee today. If we win today, then we are first in the table. That would feel for the moment better for the situation. No difference. We have to win football games. We played Tottenham. I saw them today at Aston Villa. I think, okay, they obviously have an idea as well and a plan. So we have so many games to play, but you cannot be champion on match in this league on match day, whatever we are now.
Arsenal last year came back, and we stayed for a long time because it's a young team with an exceptional manager. So, yeah, still 11 games, 11 or 12 games to play left, I don't know. 11? 10? 10? 10 games, 3 points to play, 1 point difference. So important is still we are there. After where we come from, like previous season, still we are there.
10, actually, Pep. Yeah, 10 games to go. Graeme, is this a title race going right down to the very wire? If it is, who holds the key?
I think it's impossible to say. I think the three of them, right now as we speak, have an equal chance of winning it. I think there's bound to, if not all of them, will slip up somewhere. And that is the beauty of our league. You know, our league is so competitive. Are you ever really surprised if a big team loses to a small team today? I mean, yeah, it's a bit of an upset, but it's not a major surprise. And that is the nature of our football. And that's why our league is by far the best league out there.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday's game, I mean, even Villa and Spurs, well, the Villa supporters won't be happy about it, but that was a great game. And the game at Anfield was a super game. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, people passing accurately, doing it under pressure, great tempo to the game, people missing chances, which can always happen, incidents. It was just a great watch, a great spectacle.
Are you going to be brave, or am I pushing you needlessly?
No.
But on Monday, March the 11th, you're going to tell me who the outright winner is going to be?
No. I come back to never be surprised at the surprises in football. You know, there's going to be some slip-ups that you wouldn't expect. Mm. There's no way you can look and say, we'll win that one. That's going to be more difficult, but we'll win that. We could possibly draw that. It doesn't work like that. And that's why the oldest saying of football is trotted out at this time of year. One game at a time. That's all you can focus on.
Yeah. I mean, Sammy, when you look at it,
on top, in control, wasted chances. Can Liverpool look back in this one as the one that got away?
If you want to characterise it that way, I first of all thought Graham was absolutely right. I thought it was a brilliant game of football. I thought it was two teams that have a lot of respect for one another, but were determined to try and win a game from the first minute, to the last. I thought the tempo, the style, the balance of the game, the poise and the competency of both teams is something to behold. But I thought it would be a draw. I thought they'd cancel one another. That's why I picked a one-all draw. So, you know, I wasn't surprised by the result. I think, you know, my personal belief is if Arsenal go to Man City and beat Man City at the Etihad, I think they'll win the league. But that's a big if.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal now have it in their hands again. It's their destiny. It's for theirs to decide.
Yeah.
They can determine their own outcomes. Now, of course, if they win all their games, they'll win the league.
Liverpool could say the same, couldn't they? Just have to score a lot more goals.
Sure. Sure, but notwithstanding it, Arsenal are scoring goals for fun. What, they got seven goals difference between the two sides? It's a few goals to make up. It's perfectly achievable. But again, I make the point that I think Arsenal, if they beat Man City, I think they'll win the league. But I think it's a massive if.
This is how our league should be.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
This is exactly how
exactly. The only worry, if you can have a worry about Liverpool, Graham, is despite this Anfield loving that seems to go on, Liverpool have now failed to beat City, Arsenal and Manchester United at home this season.
Well, you do that, you don't win the league. Because it's not just the 3 points you gain, it's the damage you do to your nearest rival. Why do you say Anfield loving? It's a hard place to dig a result out. And saying, you're saying that, you know, they didn't beat those three teams. When was the last time a team won there?
We'll check it right now.
It'll be a long time. It's always been a hard place. Even before I played for Liverpool and I went there with Middlesbrough, it was a super difficult place to get a result.
Just
the way that the stadium is, the way the supporters are, it's a super difficult place to dig out a result.
But that might cost them in the end, mightn't it?
Yeah, but listen, you look over your season and it's very easy to look back and say, we lost it there, we lost it there.
Yeah.
And this is why, again, and it's the way I was educated, when I was a player there, you know, winning the European Cup is it's a great night out in generally one of the most glamorous cities in Europe. In my case, it was London, Paris and Rome. The song there, isn't it? London, Paris,
you can't do better than that.
You know, the glamour of that, the tension of that on a night. But they always, winning the league was a priority. At the start of the season, winning the league, they felt it said more about you as an individual and collectively. They thought winning the league, you've managed the down periods in the season, whether it be injury or loss of form.
Yeah.
And you managed that, so you came out on top and they felt that said a lot more about you than just winning a cup.
City beat Liverpool in 2021. That was the last time at Anfield that Liverpool have lost. Simon.
So it's a fresh to come back.
Oh, it's a long
super
time,
difficult
isn't
place
it?
To get a result.
Oh, it's a fortress.
A
no, you're dead right. The debate has been raging. Down in Talk TV, they were talking about it. In Chris Evans' breakfast show, they're talking about it. Penalty or no penalty? The last minute penalty called Doku on McAllister. Penalty or no penalty?
I'm in the camp that when I watched it, my first reaction was, I don't think that's a penalty. And then when you watch it more and you have the benefit of watching it from a slower perspective and watching replays, you start to move into the territory of suggesting that there's a distinct possibility that you wouldn't have been surprised if VAR had given a penalty. I think you can make an argument for either one, and that's why I'm not surprised it sits in the middle and no one is 100% clear. I mean, there was mixed reactions, wasn't there, in the Sky commentary team. I was when I watched the game, I thought, I cannot see them giving a penalty at this moment, at this time in the game. Not that should make any difference, because it should be a penalty if it's a penalty and not if it's not. But I think it was a real 50-50 one.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost refreshing, Graham, to see something like this not decided by VAR. VAR looked at it but didn't get involved. Do you think it was a penalty?
No, at the time, I thought, no, it's not a penalty. He's trying to pull away from it. And I've watched it in the last 10 minutes, just before we came on here. I watched it several times. I'm just repeating what Simon said. When you look at it, when it's slowed down and from the different angles, it is endangering an opponent in a box.
Yeah.
So
it's an unfortunate characterisation, though, Jim, that we must try to lose, which is determined by VAR. It's determined by a refereeing support mechanism, which we've cried out for in suggestion that referees need to make better decisions. And if it was deemed to be a penalty, it would be determined by an official making a judgment call, not some mythical big brother watching down from the sky determining that ultimately we're here to influence the way football matches are played. It's a decision that VAR was brought in to adjudicate. That's what it was brought in to do.
Okay.
But we can't be here without talking about it, because if you get that, that puts Liverpool very much in the box seat.
Well, that's right.
Going forward.
And they didn't.
No,
that
is something that could look to. But yeah, I'll come back to it. As a manager, when you're managing a football team, you know, it's very easy to say, well, that's been a difficult decision against us, and oh, we'll get another one. And then people, you hear people say, well, that evens itself out over the season. It doesn't. Things can go for you and against you. They may even themselves out over your career.
Yeah.
But it's not over a season.
Well, as we now know, no penalty given, no penalty taken, and no goal scored. As a result of all of that, Arsenal sit top of the Premier League this morning on 64 points on goal difference from Liverpool. Manchester City 1 point behind on 63. 10 games to go. Is it going down to the very wire? If so, who holds the key? For Simon and I go with him. Manchester City, Arsenal at the Etihad after the international break seems pivotal. Whoever wins that, it would seem, will go on and win it. Are we right to think that way?
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan from the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
When we get to it, you can expect some fireworks. On diving, is Graham really the only man left in the UK desperate for the game to railroad through blue cards? Blue cards! You love them!
Why do you think I'm the only man? I speak to football people. I'm sitting with journalists this morning.
All right.
People would love to have been football players. Love to have been. Oh, you were a football owner.
Thank you.
I talk to football people and they agree with me.
Oh, I've seen any of them agree with you, and
you can get arrested for that.
We'll get to that. Out of the top three, Arsenal now have the most wins, most goals scored, least goals conceded. Are they on course for this title? You know what? Sensible wisdom is yes, they very much are. But after the events at Anfield yesterday, we're picking over the bones of what was a great match, it has to be said. A drawn match between Liverpool and Manchester City. Liverpool have now failed, though, to beat Manchester City, Arsenal and Manchester United at home this season. So, what does it tell us? What does it tell us, Terry? Big Liverpool fan this morning. First one on this morning. I'm delighted to have you on board. Will that make the difference in the long run? The fact that you haven't managed to get victories over those clubs that I've mentioned, Arsenal, Manchester United and Manchester City at Anfield. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, mate. Like, don't get me wrong, it's disappointing not to get results against these top teams, but when you look at the decisions that some officials are making this season, man, it just doesn't add up at all. I honestly think this title race, again, is going to be decided by VAR and officials who can't do the job. Or, like, in what world can you not give a penalty for that yesterday? I don't understand how you guys think it's 50-50.
I would have said penalty in my limited knowledge of it all. Graham, you would say...
In real time yesterday, I thought, no, he's pulling out of it. I watched it several times this morning. I think I would be leaning more to a penalty.
Yeah, and you said something after you've watched it.
If I had an opportunity to look at that in VAR, I'd have said penalty.
Yeah, but the fact is, Terry, it's a match that's there to be won. And Liverpool, many would argue, could and should have won it.
Oh, without doubt, Luis Diaz should have put his chances away. But that doesn't mean that the standard of officiating should change on the game. Like, just whether Liverpool should have put the chances away or not. I mean, we can go back to the other season where Rodri handballed it and stuff like that. We've had, what was it, going back to the Arsenal game where it should have been a clear penalty. Going back to the Spurs game, it's a Diaz goal. And this title race, that is possibly going to be won by 1 or 2 points, and you're getting decisions like these.
Graham, what do you want to say in that?
Terry, when you're same when you support a club, if you play for a club, if you manage a club, you look back on your season. We don't have to look far in Liverpool's recent games. Was it Forest where they got a goal late on where really the ball should have been given to Forest? It was Forest, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was last week.
So you can look back and there's the pluses and minuses throughout the season. Either way, and you're talking as if we're not going to still win it. I think Liverpool have got the momentum. I really do. I think there's a feel-good factor at Anfield. The manager's leaving. I think everyone at that football club at this stage in the season normally pulls together, but I think they're pulling extra strong at this time.
Ah, so you're off the fence now. You're seeing Liverpool to win it.
No, but I've said consistently that I thought Liverpool would win it. And the reason I said that is because I felt they were a team that could win games without playing well because they're goal scorers.
Yeah.
But yesterday, you know, look at Salah coming on. Salah's not right. They've got to get these guys back and firing on all cylinders.
Terry, thanks for the call. David's a big Liverpool fan. David, good morning. You go with Graham then. Are you thinking, your boys are going to do it?
Enough. And we need to, please, because I can't take it anymore, Jim. How is that not a penalty? The law states If it's high, if it's reckless, wherever you get the ball or not, and he doesn't get the ball, by the way, it's dangerous as a foul. Why do these refs keep saying, because it's in a penalty, or it's because it's the first one of the game? If it's a foul, it's a foul. Enough. Stop making excuses. It's just a foul. It's as simple as that. It's honestly, Jim, I've had enough. There's no point anymore. There's no point in football. It's killing me. It's all these decisions, and not just Liverpool, in general, and I was thinking back to it, right? I've never seen, since these Man City owners come in, I've never seen a Man City get a decision against them, going against them, when I went, oh my God, you know what? They've got done by that.
But David, can I put this to you? Are you as equally frustrated at the chances missed by Luis Diaz as you are about that penalty not given?
Jim, yes, I'm not denying that, but Graham would agree. Football doesn't work like that. Sometimes, Jim, sometimes you might have not even a shot on target, but you might win 1-0 because the team scores. So you just need a bit of luck. Fine, Diaz should have scored, yes. But end of the day, Jim, I would still be calling you, even if Diaz scored and we were 3-4-1 up. I would still call you and say to you, that is a foul.
But Graham, you played the game, you still say it's 50-50.
No, I've tried to. I said yesterday when I was watching it in real time, I thought he's trying to get his... Yeah, he's raised his foot high and he's pulling out. I don't think he's gone with any intent to hurt anyone. He's just realised at the last minute, I'm high here, and he's trying to pull out. But then this morning when I've seen it, because I didn't watch the replays, I watched after the game finished, I generally watched something else. But I saw the gate, that incident just as we walked into the studio. And it comes down to it, as David has alluded to, it's dangerous play. Yeah. He is endangering his opponent.
But Simon, I tried to point out to him, what frustrates you more, that or Diaz's misses?
Well, it's an easy one to go after the officials all the time, isn't it? Because what you do is what people do, because football's an emotional game and everything driven by emotion, is you look at the things that didn't go your way and you don't look at the things that have gone your way, which is the point that you made earlier on. I don't hear any Liverpool fan coming on and say, we got away with one last week. You know, we got a goal in the last minute against Forest that really and truly, if the referee had done his job properly and made the right decision, we wouldn't have got the... No.
And Graham rightly pointed that out.
I've had enough of it all. It's all bloody awful.
Yeah.
And it's because an incident has happened against them.
I get the frustrations people, Liverpool supporters feel frustrated this morning, but we are still...
But they weren't frustrated last week,
were
they?
Very much in the race.
Were they frustrated last week when Forrest... When Forrest got... No frustration last week. Silence. But they're frustrated this week.
That's football supporters do.
Emotional, absolutely.
Not just Liverpool supporters. Football supporters do that.
After all said and done, though, are Arsenal the big winners of the weekend? Is there still a reticence from some to take Arsenal as seriously as City or Liverpool in this title race? Arsenal fans, you might want to come in on that one. I'm sure you will. Dave, just before you go, do you think Arsenal are being taken as seriously as title contenders as Liverpool and City?
They're never going to be taken seriously because most of your pundits had the mickey taken out of them during the Invincible season, mate. And they hate Arsenal. No one likes Arsenal. We're the Millwall of the Premiership. And it's a fact. It's an absolute key fact. We're the Millwall of the Premiership. And we don't get the recognition. The club's got bathed in history. It runs football properly how it should be run. We don't cheat. We don't bend any rules. And it's one of our clubs in this country, like Everton and clubs like that, that we should be proud of. And yet it does not get the recognition it needs.
Dave, go for it, my son. Simon, what did you make of Dave's comments?
What a load of nonsense. I mean, you try to join the European Super League. Don't paint yourselves in a corner where you're just a wonderful football club. The point is everyone respects Arsenal. Everyone refers to Arsenal as the Arsenal. Arsenal have a legacy that goes back to their marble halls and Herbert Chapman and whoever else. It's a unique football club that people value. It just doesn't happen to operate it at the level that Liverpool and Man City have over recent years. So this idea that everyone hates Arsenal is nonsense.
Well, you called them bottlers last season.
Because they did bottle. I looked at the facts. And I analysed the facts and I put them through a ringer of nuance and gave
a
balanced opinion. But this idea that you're the Millwall of the Premier League is just laughable.
Come on in, Dave. Did you overdo it? Are you happy with that?
Listen. I understand where Simon's coming from there, right? And I love Simon to pieces. Don't get me wrong. Honestly, I think he's brilliant. But at the end of the day, this current Arsenal team and this current manager does not get the recognition that we deserve, because when we win a game or anything like that, if it was a City or when we go and win 5-0, 6-0, and we batter teams and we make Newcastle look really, really ordinary,
part of that was by the way we played. And yet all weekend, all we heard was, oh, they were poor. They were poor. They weren't on it. They were poor. They were this. We made them look poor. We made them look poor. When we've battered these teams and we've emptied stadiums before half time, we have done that. Yeah.
Dave, yours is a call I am loving. Go
Dave,
on, Graham.
Dave, the problem you've got is until you get that monkey off your back, and I agree with Simon, it was yours to win last year and you bottled it. And until you get that monkey off your back, I, as a football person, take you seriously. I think this year you've been outstanding and could win this league. But I would say it's, you know, right across between the three of them. You know, it's what team you support and who really, really fancy. I can't pick anything between them other than the sort of me being an ex-Liverpool person.
As far as
anyone disliking Arsenal, I'm a closet lover of Arsenal. I mean, I think Arsenal have sort of been the benchmark for everyone else. They have been, in my time in football, the class act, Dennis Hillwood, the way, as he alluded to, the way the club was ran. They were a class act. Can I just tell you a quick story? I'm at Liverpool. We beat them in the League Cup quarter final at Anfield one night. My car was parked in the car park, and as I came out of the stadium to get into my car, pitch black, the Arsenal team bus was there. And there was a guy dressed as a chef, and there was silver service laid out on the tables. And I'm looking at this, and we used to get fish and chips on the way home. And we were the best team in Europe at the time. And I'm looking at that is class. Arsenal have always been a class outfit.
So, Dave, I mean, to finish your call, and we've enjoyed it, if you did bottle it last season, and many would say you did, then you've learnt from that by the looks of it.
Listen, bottle it, call it what you like. That was a young team last year in a position that they didn't think that they were ever going to be in. You had the likes of Saka, Martinelli. Look at the young kids, even of today. That was a young team. That weren't an experienced Liverpool Man City team at the top of the league bottling it. That was a young Arsenal and a young manager. You've seen the likes of Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard at big clubs messing it up. This is a young man that was sitting on top of the league that people were saying if they get into the top five, he'd be lucky. It weren't bottling it. It was a case of inexperience.
Okay, Dave, you're proving to be a very popular caller. How old are you, Dave?
Me, I've been supporting Arsenal since I was 50 years of age. I've 50 years I've been supporting Arsenal.
50, all right. So you're a seasoned supporter. Dave, thanks for the call. It was entertaining, was it not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they did bottle it. And you could level the accusation against Liverpool being a very young team in a League Cup final. They didn't bottle it when they came under pressure.
Yeah.
It's about what you get, an opportunity to take it, you take it. But no one, I don't think, I mean, people were universally opining on how brilliant Arsenal were against Newcastle and how they reduced Newcastle to rubble in that recent game.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So So much talk about Arsenal. Will it be Arsenal's season? Kai Havertz. Havertz scored Arsenal's winner against Brentford at the weekend, making it 4 goals and 2 assists in his last 4 games. Aftershave boy, is Kai Havertz no longer Arsenal's £65 million tax write-off?
Oh, come on, a broken clock is going to be right twice a day. Eventually, if you throw enough against the wall, some of it's going to stick, isn't
come
it?
Come on.
Come off it. Crying out loud, this team are scoring goals for fun. Eventually, he's going to score some goals. Does that mean that when it comes to the business end of a season and we start seeing him needing to be the difference in key games, that can't make the
you
argument...
You cannot praise the boy, can you?
No, because I don't think he's worthy of any. I think at this moment in time... And this is a £65 million footballer that scored a few goals in games that Arsenal have dominated recently and been beaten fives and sixes. When he does it, like he did in the Champions League final for Chelsea and defines a season by goals that determine an outcome in big games that are the difference between key players turning up when they don't, then I'll sit here
but
and I'll say...
But that was a key goal. That was a key goal on Saturday.
Yes, it was. It was an important goal, absolutely. But, you know, the bottom line shouldn't even be on the bloody pitch.
Well, Thomas Frank certainly thought that. He claimed Havertz should never have been on the pitch, as Simon says, and should have received a second yellow for diving.
Or
this
blue.
This is Frank.
It's Havertz. It's a clear dive. Clear dive. I wish I just would admit it. I don't know if he had. Because that happens all the time, every week. Someone is doing it, and I know it happens. So that should, of course, have been a second yellow and a red card. And then he wouldn't be able to score the winner. And we probably, hopefully, gained a little bit more momentum, maybe to win the game. I didn't know during the game there was a dive from Havertz. I'm happy I wasn't told and I didn't saw it, because then I probably would have lost and got my third yellow and then couldn't be on the touchline for Burnley.
So that was Thomas Frank, Graham, saying, no, definitely, he should have gone, should have been red. Now, this is your opportunity. You would say blue. Mm-hmm. You would say this is a moment. This mm-hmm. is a moment that a blue should have been produced. Mm-hmm. Because you're an advocate that in a moment like this, a player like Havertz should head only to the sin bin, having been blue carded. You're sticking to that?
100%. If you were to do a survey, I'll ask you two people who are...
Get to,
get to the point.
I can't use the term football people. I'll ask you two,
all right.
Two guys. What is the thing that frustrates you most in football? You first.
Listening to self-serving waffle from so-called football people.
Seriously, apart from that, what in a game of football, when you watch a game of football, what?
Okay.
I'm not asking you the question.
Simulation.
I'm not asking you the question.
I'm so sorry.
Simulation. What's another word for simulation? What's another meaning for... And so the cheating is the thing that frustrates you
yes,
the most.
Right. Yes.
Well, and you, Jim.
Thanks for asking, Graham. Now that I've had time to think, diving.
Simulation.
Cheating.
That the man in the street, to a man, ask 100 people, how 100 people will say it's diving.
Yeah.
It's going down, pretending you're injured.
So you would say the answer to that.
So we eradicate
it. Carte bleue.
We eradicate it in 2 weeks. We eradicate it in 2 weeks if you introduce a sin bin. Because what would happen, team goes down to 10 men, in some cases they would concede a goal, lose the game.
Yeah.
So the managers would be after them. There was a saying when I played, you don't get booked for opening your mouth, son. Yeah. Get booked for making a mistimed tackle.
Right.
And that's gone. Now they try to get each other in, they try to... Mm-hmm. I was working with Mika Richards on Sky one day and he came out, he was talking about Jack Grealish. He buys fouls. I said, explain, what does that mean? He said, well, he buys fouls. He dives when he's hardly been touched. So you're trying to influence a referee and you're cheating.
Yeah.
Any way you dress it up, simulation, you're cheating.
So you think
so we eradicate it.
Right.
In 2 weekends of the Premier League, we eradicate it.
Let's drive a coach and horses through that, because you're in a minority of one, and I'll tell you why. Let's say Kai Havertz is blue carded, mm-hmm. off to the sin bin. Mm-hmm. Does his time in the sin bin, comes back out and scores the winner?
Yeah, but maybe Brentford in that 10 minutes.
Where's the punishment aspect?
Maybe Brentford have scored a goal in that 10 minutes.
But where's
down
the punishment?
To 10 minutes.
But where's
but,
the punishment
but 10 minutes
in that procedure?
Are you daft?
I just told you.
Probably.
10 minutes, he's off the pitch. They're down. It's down to 10. They're down to 10 men.
Yeah.
And that means Brentford would have an enormous chance of maybe scoring a goal, and they end up winning it 2-1. That's where the punishment would be.
But why isn't the kind of sane procedure of two yellows make a red working for you?
But they're not going off for 10 minutes.
Do you not follow his point? Where I agree with Graham to some extent is...
What?
Now, if a guy's on a yellow card already,
yeah.
and he simulates, I don't think he should get a blue card, I think he should get a red. But what Graham's saying is, if you've got no offences on the pitch whatsoever, the guy's got no yellow cards, the first instance of him doing something like that, he gets a yellow card, so then there's no effect on the team. What Graham's saying is, if instantaneously, when a player hasn't been consequenced, you give him a blue card, he's off the pitch, then that moves into the territory of someone being consequenced and then the team being consequenced.
Let me tell you, it puts the managers...
I do understand.
Managers today will encourage players, trust me, managers today will encourage players to go down in the box. And if you go down, pretend you're injured.
Did you encourage players to go down?
No. I'm from a different time. Definitely.
Rubbish.
Not.
Francis Lee was doing it 50 years ago. No, it's not a different time.
I came from a different place. It's not something I ever did, and it's something I ever encouraged players to do. You know, if your chance go down and hold you, then pretend you're far more injured than you actually are. Go down the box, we'll get a penalty. So the managers today, to a man, will encourage that.
Well, to be fair to you, when you injured somebody, they stayed injured.
No, but Jim, because that's that is now part and parcel of our game.
Yeah.
That is part and parcel of our game, and everybody does it. Does that make it right?
So you've gone in the sniggering boy. You've gone in the blue card direction.
I understand.
He's won you
no,
over.
No. I understand his logic. What he's saying is, if players have had no consequence on the pitch, right, and the first thing they do is simulation, they get a yellow card. There's no effect on the team. And what Graham is saying, if you affect the team instantaneously by putting someone in a sin bin, then all of a sudden managers, like with the spray can, which makes people go back 10 yards, are going to denote it and start consequencing it. But I would then move it on to say, how do you then do it on the basis of someone that's got a yellow card? Because if they get a blue card, it's a kind of reward for them staying on the pitch. Whereas if it was a red card, if you've got a yellow card already on the field, well, and you simulate, it has to be a red card.
That's a decent argument. I think the referee has to make that call.
Yeah,
I
mean, but then you're asking referees to juggle about 15 different cards.
No, not at all. I think there's two ways it should be used. That's one, and I come back to it. I think within 2 weekends of the Premier League or any league, you would eradicate it. Another thing that the blue card should be used for, and it's not subjective, you abuse a referee.
Agreed.
You abuse a referee.
Off you go.
Go and sit over there for 10 minutes. And that, in 2 weekends, would be eradicated.
There is logic to
improve our game.
But you realise you are in the minority saying that.
Because people aren't thinking it through. They're not thinking it through.
I can tell you is, when I speak to people who've played the game, people who've managed in the game, after I've said what I've just said to you, they start to nod their head. It's frustrating to watch people throw themselves to the ground.
Isn't it ironic? Graham makes, and he's right, but a lot of the managers actually have come out and said they don't want a blue card, right? Current manager Eddie Howe was one of the first people to come out and say they didn't want it. When you frame it the way Graham frames it, which is the greater evil, right? Complicating the game by having a blue card, which is some people's resistance, or stopping simulation. So you stop simulation at all costs. The problem is with Graham's argument is the very people that would be in favour of it now are the very people that have spent the last 10 years engendering that sort of behaviour in their own bloody players.
Yeah. It puts them in a difficult position.
Doesn't it?
But you say if FIFA allowed a blue card for diving or descent when you lose a player, even for a short period of time, that man disadvantage on occasion would cost them dearly. Yeah. I mean, there's a caller there saying, but teams are wily to it. They lose a player,
they'll bank up.
They bank up.
Yeah, but you ask any manager, do you want to play against 11 or do you want to play against 10? You can't say it's a black and white. People would organise, they would have to, I think they do anyway, they prepare for having a player sent off. Yeah, of course that would happen. But that's still a penalty, Jim. You ask any manager out there today, right, do you want to play 11 against 11 or do you want them to have 10 men? They're going to say 10 men.
Well, the only alternative to that is determined simulation and descent as a straight red card. That's the alternative.
How many would go that strong?
You know, but that's up to referees. You can't legislate for them having no balls. Right. But the point is Graham's argument is get rid of it, and if we do it, this will get rid of it. If you go after them,
it won't take long to correct it, Simon.
But if you go,
two weekends.
Why not go? If you believe, like I believe, and I think you're right, that the biggest crime in football right now is simulation, then why not make it a red card offence?
It turns people
because people
off.
Will go subjective and go, hang on a second, one person's simulation is another right. person's yeah, comfortable.
So you can't go
contact.
Halfway house. No, stick them in the sin bin.
It turns people off watching. I get frustrated watching it. Get up, you fool, rolling around.
Agreed.
Right.
And it's in our game, it's normalised now. It's what
Agreed.
Everyone does. Another way you'd use a blue card, people abusing...
Agreed. But it should be a red card.
The manager would go mad at you for getting sent off.
But it should be a red card.
For 10 minutes.
If you abuse a referee, it should be a red card.
But there's not, Simon, the knock-on, this is really important, the knock-on effect from that would filter all the way down.
Agreed.
All the way down.
FIFA have laughed it out of town, but Graham, you're making a solid case for it. I have to admit that. Graham says the blue card. If it
don't ask a man on the street today. Anyone?
Well, let's ask the callers right now.
Properly, though.
If they introduce a blue card in 2 weeks, you say it would eradicate simulation and descent. They'd soon clamp down get a draw on the theatrics.
And Brentford get a draw on
I love
Saturday.
The way he right. wants to ask the man in the street, and a moment ago the man in the street's over-emotional and ultimately should be listened to for a certain period of the conversation. Yeah.
Blue cards.
Now he's a vox pop.
Blue cards, you having them or not?
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.